So you want to get rid of the paranoid issues? You want to get rid of the guilt? Just confess the truth. Just confess it. Just let it go. Give it to the Lord. He'll take it. He already died for it. He'll take all of your guilt, all of your sin away from you. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to worry about people finding out about it. All you have to say is, Jesus took that. I don't have that anymore. I don't have to live with that. I give it to Jesus. The reason you feel worried all the time is because you're afraid somebody's going to find out about your guilty ugliness. What if somebody really knew about who you truly are? What if they knew the truth about you? That's one of the problems with Congress today. That's why nothing ever gets done on Capitol Hill. Because they've compromised their character to the point that if they go against something that someone else knows about or wants to succeed in the House or in the Senate, that if you go against them, they'll tell the truth about you. And if everybody knew the truth about you, you wouldn't be fit for service.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. This morning, Brother Mark continued his series titled Recovery with his sermon titled Recovery, Step 4, Openly Examine Your Faults. Brother Mark read out of Psalms 32. And now, Brother Mark.
Look in Psalms 32. Would you stand as we read God's Word? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We worship you through your word. We thank you for the work that your word does in our life. We thank you for how your word draws people to you. We thank you for the opportunity to hold your word in our hands, to be able to open it and read it and take it into our heart. Lord, help us to bind your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Lord, I pray this morning as we've come into this place and as we've gathered together in your name to worship you, that we would bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you desire, but you desire our hearts. Lord, may we open our hearts to you. May we allow you to work in our heart, to speak to us through your word, to draw us to you. And Lord, may we follow you. May we listen and be obedient to your word. Allow your spirit to move in this place in a mighty way as we glorify and honor you, as we lift you up. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one true God, and the only way that we can be saved. And we thank you for the gift that you gave at Christmas, your only Son, who gave his life for us. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. Blessed is he who the Lord does not impute his iniquity against him. Blessed is he who has no deceit in their spirit. Look at verse 3. It says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old. You ever felt like your bones were growing old? Amen. I know. I get up every day and something else is aching and I don't know why. It's like, why are my bones hurting? I ache from the years. I think this is a different kind of ache. I think it's an ache that's deep inside of us that we can't touch really. We know it's there, but sometimes we don't know what to do with it. It's an achy spirit that's bone deep. Does that make sense? An achy spirit that's bone deep. It says, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. Have you ever felt like God's hand was just kind of heavy on you? And in them moments, do you feel like that, you know, there's really something that I need to do? There's really something that God is wanting me to confess this morning. There's really something that God has called me to do that I'm ignoring Him over. I'm not following through. I'm not doing what I've had people that's called me and says, I know God's wanting me to do something, but I just don't know what it is. They feel the heavy hand of God upon them. Sometimes it's a good feeling because you know God's going to use you for a certain thing, but sometimes it's a bad feeling because you know that it was you. Amen? You're not doing what God called you to do, or you've done something God said, don't do that. And you have this ugliness called guilt. This ugliness called guilt. It says, for day and night your hand was heavy. I think that's what the psalmist is talking about here. He's talking about this guilt that's upon him. He says, for day and night your hand's been heavy upon me, and I don't like it. I just don't really like this feeling of your hand. My vitality was turned into drought. There's a dryness in my spirit. And even as believers in Jesus Christ, we get this, don't we? We get this drought in our spirit. We get this heavy hand of God upon us because even though we're saved, we still have the problem of sin. And we still need to come clean. We still need to confess our sin. We need to admit it. We need to say, yep, that was me. And we need to come clean and confess it and get right with God, because that heavy hand that's upon us is that spirit of God that's within us that's saying to you, the conviction that's coming from God that's saying that you need to get right. And when we're not right with God, God wants more than anything that rightness, that cleanness, so that we can come into His presence and pray, because our prayers are hindered because of sin. Our spiritual walk's hindered because of sin. Our church growth is hindered because of sin. All the things that we regard in our life that we don't confess where this spiritual unrest is upon us hinders spiritual growth. Sin hinders spiritual growth. We're in step 4 of the recovery series, and it's called the house cleaning step for a good reason. And we've been going through the acronym of recovery, and the R was for realize that you're not God. And the E was for earnestly believe that God exists. And the C was commit your life to God. And now we're on the O. And the O is openly examine your faults. I think as believers, that we can just open up our hearts to the Spirit and say, oh God, search me. And pinpoint anything in my life that's not right with you, that I might confess it and get right, that I may have the relief of this drought in my spirit, that I might have the relief of your heavy hand upon me. So why is this examination part of the recovery process? It's because guilt is like a mud pit. And you're like a 4x4 with slick tires. And you can't get out. You're just spinning, spinning, spinning. And that's what guilt will do to you. It stunts your spiritual growth. It'll keep you from growing. It will stick you, and you cannot move beyond that point. And no matter what point you're at in your spiritual walk, guilt always does the same thing. It always sticks us. It stops us in our growth. And if you're going to be at peace in your life, you have to get rid of the guilt. And in order to get rid of the guilt, you have to confess your sin. Because it's like this. Peace comes from being guilt-free. And guilt-free comes from being sin-free. And so it's a chain of events. First of all, you have to realize you have sin, and you have to say, I'm a sinner and I've got this sin in my life, and the only way that I can get sin out of my life is to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and He's the only one that can remove my sins from me. And when I ask Him to, He'll remove them from me as far as the east is from the west. He'll cast them in the abyss. He'll remove them from my life forever. And I'll be sin-free. Does that mean I'll never sin again? Absolutely not. You'll continue to have sin in your life, but you know the process. You just ask forgiveness again. You repent of your sin. You say, I hate it when I do that, just like Paul did. I hate it when I sin. It's not what I wanted to do, but I ended up doing the wrong thing, and I'm sorry. Sorry is repentance. I'm sorry I did that. You have remorse for your sin. You turn from it. You don't go back to it. Does that mean you'll never commit that sin again? Absolutely not. It just means you hate it when you do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go back there. And so you repent from that. And so you get rid of your sin, and guess what? Your guilt disappears. It's a miracle of God. Because God is the only one that can remove your sins. Therefore, God's the only one that can remove the guilt. And in order to have peace in your life, you have to be guilt-free. It's amazing how you and I go around carrying our guilt in this great big backpack, isn't it? We got it all stored back there. No one can see it. I think that's why we carry it. If people could actually see our guilt, our baggage that we're carrying, we'd do everything we could to get rid of it, amen? But no one can see it. So we just carry it around. We know it's there, but they don't. As long as they don't know it's there, it's okay. But it's not okay. It stuck us right where we're at. We can't move. We're paralyzed by our guilt, and so we don't know what to do. And so we carry this baggage around, and this invisible, ugly baggage is called guilt, and it's the sin in our life. And the reason people carry it around is because nobody can see it. Nobody knows it's there but God and you. We deny we have guilt. And the Bible says if we deny it, we're liars. You see, lying puts us in bondage, and the truth sets us free. John 8:32, it says it's the truth that sets you free. We repress guilt. We know it's there, but we ignore it. We think it'll go away. We blame other people for our guilt. We know it was our sins that give us the feeling of guilt, but somehow we believe we'll have less pain if someone else can be the problem or the cause of our guilt. It's lonely to be in trouble by yourself, isn't it? That's why misery loves company. Amen? Now, you want to be in trouble with someone else. And so it's easy to pass part of the responsibility on to someone else and say, yeah, they did it too. Yeah. Everybody else is doing it. My mom used to say, if everybody else was jumping off the cliff, would you? Absolutely. No. No, they're not jumping off the cliff. They're just doing this, Mom. Yeah, but it's not right. So don't follow them. Don't do that. We excuse our guilt. We rationalize it. We rationalize it by saying, you know, I think it's okay. Even though in the Word of God we can read that it's not okay, we try to rationalize it and say, well, I think if you was doing it with this thought in mind, it's probably okay. It's not. You know, if it says so in the Word of God, I believe the Word of God's true, and I believe God said it for a reason, and it's not right if He says it's not right. Amen? It's the Word of God. It's not Mark's word. It's not anybody else's word. It's God's word. And God's word is the plumb line for daily living. It keeps us right vertically with God, the plumb line. So how do you get rid of your guilt? Well, that's a good question because that helps me with the rest of this message. Psalms 32 says, what happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. Do you want to be happy at Christmas? Or how about just tomorrow? Or every day? Happiness comes to those whose guilt has been forgiven. Now, I can't think of any better gift at this Christmas time than your guilt would be forgiven. What a gift. That you would be sin free, that you would be free of all your guilt, all of the things that are keeping you stuck in your spiritual growth, and that God would free you from that, and you would be free indeed because you would be sin free. You would be able to step into the presence of a holy God and talk to Him and have this personal communication, and you would hear from Him and He would hear from you. You would be able to walk with Him and follow Him and go wherever He leads you to go. You'd be able to do whatever He called you to do without any problem because you would be following God with a heart that's pure and true and sin-free. What a great gift that come at Christmas time, and it's only because Jesus come to earth and He was Emmanuel, He was God with us, and He lived among us sin-free, and then He died on the cross for all the sins of all mankind, and He took all that sin with Him, and He went to the grave with all that sin, and He took it away forever for anyone that would confess Him as Lord and Savior and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead, they'd be saved and they'd be sin-free forever. Amen? That's a real good place to amen. We get to start all over. If you all don't start saying some amens, because this is good stuff. This is Christmas stuff. So what does guilt do to you? Well, it destroys your confidence. You'll not be a confident person if you have guilt in your life because guilt makes you paranoid. You ever heard of paranoid people? Guilt makes you paranoid. Why are you paranoid? Because you're afraid somebody will find out the truth. So you want to get rid of the paranoid issues? You want to get rid of the guilt? Just confess the truth. Just confess it. Just let it go. Give it to the Lord. He'll take it. He already died for it. He'll take all of your guilt, all of your sin away from you. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to worry about people finding out about it. All you have to say is, Jesus took that. I don't have that anymore. I don't have to live with that. I give it to Jesus. The reason you feel worried all the time is because you're afraid somebody's going to find out about your guilty ugliness. What if somebody really knew about who you truly are? What if they knew the truth about you? That's one of the problems with Congress today. That's why nothing ever gets done on Capitol Hill. Because they've compromised their character to the point that if they go against something that someone else knows about or wants to succeed in the House or in the Senate, that if you go against them, they'll tell the truth about you. And if everybody knew the truth about you, you wouldn't be fit for service. Nothing ever gets accomplished because the guilt has trapped them. And so they live in their guilt. And they never change, and nothing ever happens. And they go after deadlock, after deadlock, after deadlock, and nothing changes. You see how guilt can leave you in a place where you lack confidence? to do the right thing? We see many people around that's trying to do the right thing, but others go around and dredge up things from the past. They say, oh, so you're a champion for this issue or that issue, but do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you did that? And they say, oh, I do. Instead of saying, yeah, I remember when I did that, but you know what? I give that to Jesus Christ and He forgive me and I don't have to live with that anymore. I don't live with my past. I don't live with the memories of my sin because God forgive me and I'm sin free now. Secondly, guilt damages your relationships. Guilt causes me to respond to people in a wrong way. It causes me to be impatient with others. I have a lot of guilt. One of my greatest hang-ups is road rage. And I've spoke about it from here in the pulpit before. It causes me all kinds of problems. I'm very impatient with people, especially on I-70. You know, I go down I-70, and when I get to the other end, wherever I'm going, I got to pull over and pray for several hours because I got to repent of all the issues that was brought up on the way. Because, I just get very impatient with people. Not only with the road rage and that sort of thing, but I got a problem with Taco Bell. You know, I go there and I wait 40 minutes at the drive-up to get my food. I have some issues, you know, and I got to get over that. I got to get through that. But it's guilt that causes me to respond in that negative way. Do you see that? It's my sin that causes me to be impatient with people. It's my sin that causes me to overreact in anger. It's guilt that causes me to become codependent. It's guilt that causes me to avoid relationships or commitments to relationships. It's guilt in my life that's caused from sin in my life that causes me these problems. And so we need to look at what causes the problems, not all the things that the problems cause. Does that make sense? What causes the problem is sin. And I need to get the sin fixed before all the other problems will be resolved. So you got to go back to the basics. Thirdly, guilt can get you stuck in the past. It will stick you in the past. Satan loves guilt. You know why? Because Satan loves to play tricks in your mind. When you try to do something for the Lord, when you try to do something positive, something that you feel like God has called you to do, Satan will say, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you did that? Do you remember this sin and that sin? What makes you think that you can do that? And Satan loves guilt. He loves to play on your guilt. He loves to keep you paralyzed in your guilt so that you won't do anything for God. That's one of his favorite tools. And he loves your guilt. And we continue to ask ourselves, what if? You know, I love to think of, I always use this scenario, I call Satan the wheelbarrow man. Because we come up here to the altar and we lay all our sins at the altar and we leave them there, amen? That's what God wants us to do. You just leave them there. And then when we're walking away, Satan puts them all in a wheelbarrow and he follows us along and says, hey, you forgot something. Hey, here's your sin. You need this. You got to keep this with you. You say, no, I don't need it. Just walk away from it because God took that from you. Don't pick it back up. Don't take it back. Even though Satan's following you along and throwing them back in your face, you just read the scripture back to him and say, God removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm free of sin. And finally, guilt can make you sick physically. You just ask Doc Spooner. Guilt, not that he's got it, but that he's a doctor. He's a doctor and he's seen it. That's what I'm saying. He sees it all the time. I believe 75% of the people in the hospital could get up and walk out if they was guilt-free. Because sin can make you physically sick. This is a very important step. It's a scary step. It's a step that separates the men from the boys. If you want to grow, you have to let go. You have to confess. So how do you do this step? First of all, you have to take a spiritual, moral inventory. Self-examination. You sit down, you get you a piece of paper, you get alone in a private place, and you pray. And you ask the Spirit, you say, Lord, show me in my life everything where I've transgressed your law. Every place that I've not been obedient. Everything in my life that doesn't point to you, that I may ask for your forgiveness and be free. You ask yourself, what do I feel guilty about? What do I have remorse over? What are the faults in my life that need changed? And you ask the Holy Spirit to help you. In Lamentations 3:40, he says, let us examine our ways and test them. And in Psalms 139, 23 through 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts and point out anything you find in me that makes you sad. You have to be very honest with yourself. Because God already knows everything that you've done. Amen? He knows it all. So be very specific and very honest and write them down. Secondly, you have to accept responsibility for your sin. Own them. Say they're mine. I did that. When you own your sin, the Lord gives you a mind and consciousness, and you cannot hide your sins from God. And so when you own your sins, you're confessing to God that they're yours, that you have them. The greatest holdup to the healing is me, is owning my sin. It starts with being very honest and saying, I'm the problem. Don't rationalize it. Don't blame others. Just admit, I messed up. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Or we're living a life of illusion. Or we're fooling ourselves. The point is, if I really want to stop defeating myself, I have to stop deceiving myself. Own the truth. Confess up. Thirdly, ask God for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, I freely admit that if I have sinned, I find God utterly reliable. He's faithful and just. And he forgives our sin, and he makes us thoroughly clean from all that is evil. He cleanses us from head to toe, top to bottom, inside to out. We're fully cleansed. And you know, the Hebrew symbol for a Christian is a symbol of a person with a symbol of a lamb over the top of the person. And if you look down on the top of that symbol, what do you see? You see the lamb. You don't see the person. That's an awesome symbol of a believer. Because when God looks down upon you, he don't see you in your sin. He sees the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, sin-free. Okay? So that's the difference between a believer and a non-believer. When God looks upon the heart, he don't see all your sin. He sees Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, spotless, without blemish, the perfect sacrifice, the one who died for you. You don't have to beg God to forgive you. He already wants to. All you have to do is ask Him. You don't ever bargain with God for forgiveness. Don't say, if you'll just forgive me, I'll never do that again. Don't make them promises, because you can't keep from not doing the things that God don't want you to do, because you still have your old sin nature and you're still going to sin. It would be great if God saved us and we'd never sin again. Amen? That'd been awesome. Of course, none of us would be here, because we wouldn't need to be here. Of course, we wouldn't need God either, so He'd probably just take us on home once we were saved. But He left us here for a reason, amen? And the reason is that He wants you to go tell the story. You need to go tell the story of how God cleansed you from all your sins. That you had all this mess and God cleaned it all up. That you still have messes and God still cleans you up. And that God leads you and guides you and He blesses you. And all you can say is, I don't know how that happened. I've never seen that before. You can't make this stuff up. You don't have to bribe God for forgiveness, and don't do that. Don't say, God, if you'll just forgive me, I'll do this for you. Don't do that. Just come clean. Just say, God, I'm a sinner. I have this list that I've made of sins, and I want you to forgive me. And I want to repent of them. I want to turn from them. I don't want to sin anymore. Fourthly, you just believe. When we freely admit that we've sinned, we find God faithful. For God is faithful. He don't change. There is no shadow of turning with God. He don't change from day to day. He don't forgive this one and not that one. Anyone that would come to Him and believe that He's the Son of God, and believe that Jesus was raised from the grave by God on the third day, and that He's alive, and that He is God, and that He was sent to die for your sins, and that if you ask Him and confess them sins to Him, the Bible says you're forgiven, period. No questions. Nothing else to do. No, nothing else. It's just that. You're free. You're forgiven. The basis for our forgiveness is God. The basis for our forgiveness is Christmas. It's Jesus who came to earth. It's everything God did, nothing we did. It's not how we celebrate Christmas. It's not everything that we've done for the Lord. It's nothing to do with us. And it's everything to do with what God did. As He sent the greatest gift of all at Christmas time, Jesus Christ, who would die for every person that would say yes to Him, that would confess their sins, and would be sin free, and He would give them the greatest gift of all, and that's eternal life. A life that's the best life you can live on this earth, and it's life that will be with God forever and ever. You just believe. There's no sin that's too big for God. He's already seen them all. He's seen your sins like you have long before you ever come. There's no sin that's unforgivable except one. And that's the sin of not saying yes to Jesus. Every other sin's forgivable. You just believe. God don't have a list of sins that He can forgive and a list that He can't forgive. They're all forgivable. There's only that one sin that's unforgivable. There's only one Savior. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to righteousness with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's the only way. You might hear of other ways to get to God, but they're not true. The Bible says there's one way, Jesus Christ. No matter how deep the stain of my sin, I can take it out and make it as clean as fallen snow, God says in Isaiah 1:18. There is a fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. All sinners plunge beneath the flow, lose all their guilt and shame. They lose all their guilt and shame. If there's anything that I'd be willing to lose today and this Christmas, it's my guilt and shame. And all I have to do is accept the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. All I have to do is fess up. Say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up again. Would you forgive me for this sin? And absolutely, I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm free. I'm guilt-free. I don't have to live with all my guilt and shame. Fourthly, admit your faults to another person. Be careful with this. James 5:16 says, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Revealing your feelings is the beginning of healing. Now, this is for you people who are listeners. There may be someone that would come to you and say, I'd like to tell you some of the things that I have on my list, if you'd be willing to listen. If someone's coming to you in confidence, you better be tight-lipped. You tell no one. If they're coming to you in confidence, you keep it that way. If you're not able to, you let them know before they tell you. You say, I'd love to listen, hear your list, but you know, I have this problem with not being tight-lipped. I let things slip, and sometimes I say things that I shouldn't tell other people. And I don't think you ought to be telling me these things. Let them know. Be upfront. Be truthful. Be honest. If you're good and you're tight-lipped and stuff, absolutely listen to them. Let them share with you what's on their heart and keep it between you and them. You confessors, telling the wrong person can be big trouble. Make sure it's someone you trust. Make sure it's someone that understands the value of what you're doing. Make sure it's someone who's mature enough that's not going to be shocked over what you're telling them. Make sure it's someone that knows the Lord well enough that they can reflect His forgiveness to you and also understand why you're doing what you're doing. This could be a lay pastor, a pastor, a Christian counselor, or a trusted close friend. You don't have to tell everybody, but just tell somebody. Fifthly, accept God's forgiveness and forgive yourself. Romans 3:23 and 24, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, every one of us, all of us. We're all in the same boat. Nobody's perfect. We all have messes. We're all a mess. And we're all in this mess together. But we have a mess cleaner-upper, amen? His name is Jesus Christ, and He cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. And when He cleanses us, you accept His forgiveness and you forgive yourself because you're forgiven. You're forgiven. God forgives instantly. God forgives freely. God forgives completely. There's nothing left. In conclusion, as Phyllis comes and Victoria comes to lead us, Jesse Ventura, I don't know if y'all remember that name. He was, I think, became the governor of Minnesota. He was a wrestler. Anyway, Jesse Ventura said this. He said, organized religion is a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people. To that, I say absolutely. Absolutely. Because it wasn't until I realized how weak I am that I realized my need for Jesus Christ. It wasn't until I realized that I was stuck in my sin, that I was stuck in my guilt and my shame, and that I needed Jesus Christ and a personal Lord and Savior and someone to forgive my sins. It wasn't until I realized how weak I was until I realized the strength that comes from Jesus Christ. And I need Him in my life. I need His forgiveness. I need to be free of my guilt so that I'm not stuck in life. When I am weak, I am strong, the Bible says. The Bible says God will not despise a broken and contrite heart. The Bible says the least is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's the weakest people who are blessed the most. Amen. If you realize this morning that you're weak, that you're stuck in your guilt and your shame and your sin, and that Jesus Christ is the only one that can free you of that, this morning you are about to receive the greatest gift of all when you say yes to Jesus. If you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, you could have the greatest Christmas present of anyone this Christmas. And that's the gift of salvation and forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ. He forgives our heart, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and He sets us free because He is the truth. Life has a way of teaching us that we're not in control. Amen. You don't have to live very long. You may be a teenager and think you got things pretty well under control, but guess what? There's problems on the way. And I don't say that to be facetious. I don't say that to be mean or anything. I'm just saying the truth. They're coming. And you're going to need help. You're going to need Jesus in your life. Maybe you've come to that conclusion. Maybe you've already said, I know I need Jesus. I know I need His forgiveness. I know I need to follow Him. And I know I need God in my life. But you've been living as a Christian, but you've got sin in your life and you're not effective anymore. You don't feel like your prayers are getting off the ground. You just need to come clean. You just need to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I've sinned against You. Forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and listen when I pray to You. Guide me. Follow me. And I want to follow You. Speak to me. I want to hear You. I'm here to let you know this morning that God is very pleased with that decision. God is very pleased with you saying, I need forgiveness. I need free of my guilt. I want You to cleanse me. God loves the broken and the weak, and He despises the proud and the foolish. If you come to God in that posture, in the posture of a weak, broken, contrite heart, knowing that you need His forgiveness, He always honors that. He'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west, and you'll have no more guilt, no more shame, no more remorse. And you'll be able to walk with Him. Let's stand and pray. Father God, we've heard You speak this morning. Your word is good for reproof and correction. It equips us in righteousness. It's all we need for daily living. Lord, every day we need Your forgiveness. Every day we need cleansed of our guilt and remorse and shame that we don't get stuck in life. Lord, I pray that this morning as people have heard Your word and they've responded to it, that You would honor them, and You will. And Lord, if one person this morning has confessed You as Lord and believed in their heart that You was raised from the grave and that You are the Savior, that You was God, if one person believed that this morning, Lord, I pray that today they would openly confess You as Lord of their life. Lord, as believers, As you spoke to us, Lord, I pray that we would confess the sin in our life, that we might be free. Lord, as a church, Lord, I pray as a church that we would come clean, that you might be able to work and use us in a great way to reach this community for you. All these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be singing page 294.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.